Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode, another week of Olivia's Obscura. I am so glad that you've made it here with me today. This is actually take two. I tried to record this only, I only made it about 4 minutes in. But I just tried to record this and I tried to record a video with it. Cause I was like, well, I might as well just try to record a video. So I can like put it on YouTube or like splice it up into clips for like TikTok or Reels or whatever. But it was so distracting. I kept looking at myself, like the image of myself, because I was recording on Photo Booth and I'm recording the audio in GarageBand. So I just had the two windows up next to each other. And it was like so distracting. There was so much dead air because I was like so hyper-focused on making sure that the video was going and that the audio was going, and I was focused on how I was looking, which was not very good because it was like a revert, like selfie image. I don't know. Anyway, the moral of the story is I tried that. I tried, I failed. Maybe someday there will be a video component to this podcast, but I'm just kind of against it at this moment because I've kind of always been against it because the reason I started a podcast is because I have a face for podcasting. If I wanted to make videos, I would have just started a YouTube channel. I started a podcast because I, as a listener, as a consumer, prefer the audio medium. Also, I am more comfortable just yapping and not making sure that I am like camera ready and looking the right way at all times. Like mad respect to like full-time podcasters, of which I am not, but mad respect to the full-time podcasters who video themselves during their like, oh my God, I do not have that mental strength to be able to look at myself for that long. I make TikToks. I make so many TikToks, but those exist in, you know, 60 to 120 second snippets, right? Like I'm not a long form TikToker. I'm always making like 1 or 2 minutes of videos. And so that's doable. I don't know how I cannot at this time in my life be on camera for an hour plus and then be expected to go back and edit that with audio on top of it. That is just not going to happen. So maybe someday, you know, maybe someday we'll get a real stew. Manifest it. Okay, I'll get a real stew. We'll have like a real podcast set up with a camera. Not now. That day is not today. I have had a pretty productive day today so far. I feel like it's the first day of September, first of all. Let's just address the elephant in the room real quick. It is the first day of September. August is over. If you're wondering about me personally, I'm still observing the summer season because it does not end until the autumn equinox, which is going to take place on, I believe, September 22nd. So we still have 22 full days of summer for anyone else that is still observing summer. I really am not on board with the people who, oh my God. Sorry, I had like a yawn trapped in my throat and it kept trying to bubble up. I think I got it out though. I cannot really relate. I respect it and I wish I was this way. I cannot relate to people who, the minute the clock strikes September, they're already in fall mode. I'm not ready to have that drastic of a change. To me, fall, like September, especially in San Diego, is still full on summer. It's always kind of full on summer here, which I appreciate, you know, kind of culturally summer. I'm not looking forward to the shorter days, the longer nights, the earlier sunsets. That is all really stinky poo-poo bad, in my opinion. But yeah, I just am really not, people who are like, already today I'm seeing the Instagram stories of, oh my God, it's time for spooky movies and fuzzy socks and fall football games. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's actually really not. You guys are jumping the gun here. Like, can we just exist in summer for 22 more days? That's literally all I'm asking for. It's like 85 degrees right now. Like, why are we so eager to be snuggling up with Halloween Town and a cup of apple cider? Like, I'm really not. But if that's you, I'm fully in support of you. I'm not trying to dog on you. I know that there are a lot of fall heads out there. I know that I probably have some fall heads listening to this right now. And I'm not trying to harsh your vibe. I am not trying to get in between you and a good time. I'm just saying, to me personally, I am not absolutely enthusiastic about the fact that people are kind of jumping the gun on fall. Anyway, I digress. So I woke up this morning, right? September 1st, whatever. Weird vibe. Don't love that. I washed my sheets. Oh, I'm so excited to go put the clean sheets on my bed and tuck myself in to a nice, clean, fresh bed tonight. There is nothing better than washing your sheets and sleeping in them. Like, it is just the best feeling. What did I just do? I went and got my COVID shot, my updated COVID shot. Yeah, they gave me the jab. Yeah, they gave me the jab. It's because I needed to update my microchip or whatever the fuck. I don't know. Okay. I can't talk about that right now. Oh my God. I was going to talk about Elon Musk, but I actually cannot talk about Elon Musk right now. It will ruin the whole episode. So I went and got my COVID shot at CVS. Awesome. The girl who did it was super nice. She didn't offer me a sticker though, and I was too afraid to ask, even though I saw them there and they were so cute. All the different CVS I got my shot stickers or whatever, like, they had animals on them. I'm obsessed with them. But I left just longing for one and not actually having one. And then I walked. Well, first of all, I did all of this on foot, okay? And I did all of these errands in the span of this is why a walkable city is literally the strongest antidepressant, is because I was able to run like 3 errands on foot and be back at my house an hour after I initially left. So I walked to CVS, got my COVID shot, walked to the coffee shop where I sell some products called Good Omen, okay, in University Heights, San Diego. Please go check it out. If just for the fact that like all the baristas there are awesome and the coffee is delicious. And also because I do sell stuff there. Okay. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want you to go buy a sticker or some shit. I really do. I really, really do want you to buy a sticker. So went there to get a little drink. Got a little iced oat milk chai, which I never get. I don't know why. I usually always get an iced, extra ice, Americano, no room, just black. But today, I don't know, I felt like a bit of a, I just was like, that's not right. That just wasn't right. So I got an iced oat milk chai and it was delicious. I feel like I haven't had an iced oat milk chai in like a year and it just hit so good. And I did my inventory to see what had sold for the month, what I need to restock. And I actually still need to, okay, I need to put that in my to-do list real quick. I need to make my invoice to send to the owner of the coffee shop so he can pay me for my sales for the month. But you guys don't care about that. You don't care about the ins and outs of my to-do list. So after I was done at the coffee shop, doing my inventory, chit-chatting, having a little kiki, having a little drink, whatever, I then walked to Sprouts. I got a deli sandwich. Oh, so good. I got a couple other things. I thought that I saw my old roommate working there. Because I was sitting, okay, this is kind of like lore that I'm not going to drop in full. It's actually not even that much tea, but I really like, I had a roommate that I lived with right when I moved to San Diego. I met her from Craigslist. Like, I found her listing looking for a roommate to fill the empty room in her apartment on Craigslist, which I guess is in its own right lore. Like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't necessarily suggest or recommend to anyone that they find a roommate on Craigslist. I got lucky in the sense that she wasn't an axe murderer. You know what I mean? Like, I did get lucky in the sense that she wasn't a thief, or like, yeah, like an axe murderer or like poisoning me with arsenic or something. Like, thank God, you know, because there's a large spectrum of what can go wrong when it comes to Craigslist. So all that considered, turned out pretty well. Anyway, I lived with her for about 10 months, right when I moved here in like September of 2020. And then I moved out in like, I guess it was almost a full year, in August of 2021, when me and Ty found this place and moved in here together. So I haven't seen her or talked to her because we weren't friends. You know what I mean? Like, we lived together cordially. It was just a real, true roommate situation. Like, I have not kept in contact with her after I moved my stuff out, after I, you know, got my part of the security deposit back. Like, I have not talked to her in 3 years. And I was looking at Sprouts, waiting for my sandwich. I was by the refrigerated juices because I really wanted like a ginger. I felt like a slight tickle in my throat this morning. And I'm like, okay, if this is a cold, like, we have to nip this in the bud. So I was getting I was looking for like a ginger juice or something. And I had my sunglasses on and I had a mask on because I had the tickle in my throat. I'm not out here trying to freaking get people sick. Okay. So I was kind of like, I was kind of unrecognizable, but I feel like I do have recognizable tattoos. I have very recognizable hair. Like I do feel like she could have recognized me. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. She was wearing not a Sprouts t-shirt. The girl who I think is my roommate, but I actually don't know if it is. My old roommate. She wasn't wearing a Sprouts t-shirt because usually they're all wearing the green shirts. But there's a few people who like, I guess, work in the back or like only do restock and not like customer service. And so they wear regular clothes. So this girl was wearing regular clothes and she kind of came up behind me as I was just kind of like gazing at the juices and was like, can I help you find anything? And the thing that like made me think for a second that it could be her was the voice. I was like, that sounds like my old roommate. Like kind of, it sounded like the cadence she would ask a question. Like it's, you know, when you can just like it just sounded like her voice a little bit. And I looked around and I saw her and it looked kind of like her, but like not exactly like her because I lived with this girl for a year. Like I would know what she looks like, but at the same time, it's been 3 years. Like 3 years, you can look a lot different in 3 years. So I was like, maybe she's just like, maybe her facial features have changed a little bit, or like maybe she, I don't know, like I couldn't tell if it was her, but it like something about it was so uncanny. I was like, this kind of, and the reason I kind of thought it might be her is because she asked me if I needed help and I didn't really look like I needed help. So it almost seemed like it was kind of a way for her to like see if it was me. Like if she was also thinking like, is this my old roommate? And so I was like, no, I'm all good. Thank you though. And I, you know, I had my sunglasses and my mask on. So she probably couldn't like tell who I was really, if she was already on the edge. I couldn't tell who she was really because I was already on the edge. Neither of us said anything. Like she didn't say like, oh, Olivia, like, how are you? And I wasn't confident enough that it was her. So I didn't say anything either. But I've never seen her. I go to that Sprouts a lot. I've never seen her there. And so I'm thinking it could happen. Like she's had a lot of jobs. Like when I lived with her, she had a few jobs. So it wouldn't be like out of the ordinary for her to start working at Sprouts. Anyway, I don't know. That is such a tangent. I don't know why I shared that, but I was just like, because the other thing that's weird is that I haven't seen her like in the neighborhood since I moved out of her house, which I moved like maybe 2 miles away. Like I live in the same neighborhood that I lived in with her, just in kind of like a different area of the neighborhood, like a couple of main streets over. But I'm still very much like, I go to all the same places that I went to. Well, not all of them. I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm like around and about, and like, I feel like I see a lot of people because I'm a pedestrian. Like I'm always walking or like on public transit. And I feel like I run into a lot of people that way. Like, okay, this is a complete tangent, but I do think, absolute sidebar. Okay. I promise I'm going to loop this back around, but if I don't say it now, I'm going to forget it. I think that the loneliness epidemic would be eradicated if everyone didn't have cars. Like if people, or if they lived in cities with infrastructure that lended itself to being walkable, because the problem is not on people having cars. That's not the individual's problem. The problem is that American cities are not built for the most part to accommodate pedestrians as a main form of transportation. But just by walking around, you guys, like I know so many people. I can't tell you how many people I know just from like going to the same coffee shop a lot and meeting up with them there. Like I don't know them outside of the context of being at the same coffee shop at the same time as them, but we interact. Like they've bought art from me. Like I've been to their houses. I've like dog sat for people I met that way. Like I literally, just by being a pedestrian and being in the neighborhood and having these kind of walkable haunts that I can go to, I'm so much more in my community than I was when I relied on driving everywhere. Even like like, I see the same bus driver every day that I go to work, because I take the same bus to work every day, and it's always the same guy. And, like, we don't know each other, but it is, like, this micro interaction of, like, hey, I know who you are, and you know who I am. And, like, it just feels much less isolating. I think people would feel a lot less isolated. I know people would feel a lot less isolated and a lot less lonely if people had to walk places, if they were able to walk places easily and quickly. Anyway, looping back around to it, I've never seen my old roommate around, which is really interesting because I feel San Diego is a very small town feel. Like, I feel like you just run into everyone here all the time, especially if you're, like, within, like, I live in, like, the North Park area. Like, you see people in North Park, like, just by virtue of being here. So I was kind of surprised that in the 3 years that I've not lived with my old roommate, I haven't seen her just out and about, because I know that she goes out, like, I go out, like, we have errands, you know, like, it's always weird to me when I don't see someone, because that's very much not the norm. Like, I almost have to assume that you, like, moved to a different neighborhood or moved away or something, because it is so common to just run into, like, people that you know. So I don't know. I think that's also what threw me off, is that I hadn't seen, like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know, but I did. What is also random, this is so, I'm not going to say names, obviously. I was like, can I share this? And I'm like, yeah, I can. You have no identifiable details, but my old roommate, let's call her Leah. Leah dated this guy named Mark, we're going to call him, before I lived with her. So Leah and Mark dated before I even knew her. When I moved in, though, they still kind of, like, hooked up and, like, kind of dated, but not really. But, like, it was her ex. Like, she'd always refer to Mark as her ex. But he would come over and, like, we'd play Monopoly Go together. And I was like, this is weird. Like, he's your ex. Like, he was fine. But it was just always interesting. We didn't get along super well. Obviously, I don't tend to get along with men, really, who are, like, of a certain way. So, whatever. We weren't besties. Whatever. It's so random because it all comes back to Craigslist. In February, before I had landed my current job at the chiropractor, I was just kind of, like, looking for gigs all the time. And at the very beginning of February, I found this gig on Craigslist for a mural. I actually think I've talked about this on here before, because I would have been recording the podcast at this time. But I basically got hired to go help this artist. Her name is Swoon. She's really cool. Look her up. Do this mural. And there was, like, a team of muralists who had flown in from New York, and they were looking for, like, a few people locally in San Diego who could come just help with, like, the grunt work for the day. Like, the wheat pasting, the varnishing, like, easy stuff. They just needed hands. So I signed up for this gig. I was like, perfect, in my skill set. Sounds awesome. It paid pretty well. I was like, sign me the fuck up. So I was there. I ended up being at the mural site for, like, 3 days. And on, I think, the second or third day, one of the guys who was also at the mural site was like, hey, I think someone in the bathroom is looking for you. And I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, and some much needed context here is that this mural was getting installed on a brand new building. I think it was, like, a hotel or a conference center or something, but the building wasn't open yet. And it was full of, like, contractors and plumbers and electricians and, like, all sorts of people there doing all kinds of things to prepare this building for opening. So I was there with, like, other kinds of, like, tradesmen who weren't part of the mural team. So I said, I don't know who you're talking about. Like, I don't know anyone here. I genuinely don't know anybody here. And then later I walked by a guy, and he had a helmet on. He had, like, his safety yellow on, and he had, like, those fast, like, gas station sunglasses on. Like, nothing about him was too identifiable, but there was just a vibe. And I was like, I think that's Mark. Like, I think that's Lauren's ex's Mark, who would play Monopoly Go with us sometimes. Like, that must have been who saw me and who was talking to this other guy, like, about, like, asking if I was me. So weird. Anyway, that's, like, the only tangential interaction I've had relating to my old roommate. But it is so weird that, like, what are the odds? You know what I mean? He was there, like, I think he was an electrician or something. Like, I don't know what trade he worked in specifically, but random, right? Anyway, long story not long story short. Let's be so for real. That was actually short story long. So short story long, I was at Sprouts. I came home. I ate half my deli sandwich. It was incredible. I put the other half in the fridge for later, which I can't wait. That's the thing about eating something in halves is that you can really extend the pleasure that you're deriving from it. You know, so I got to enjoy half a sandwich earlier. I'm going to enjoy half a sandwich later. It's going to be awesome. What do I need to talk about today? Let me get on. Oh, okay. Have you guys... I just found out about this morning, and I was watching so many TikToks about it in bed before I emerged from my cave. But I, 26 years old, lived on the West Coast my whole life. I just learned about a little something called Boston Moving Day. Have you guys heard of Boston Moving Day? Because I had not until today. I'm assuming if you've lived in Boston or anywhere on the East Coast, you would know about this. But because there are so many universities and colleges in the Boston area, I think there's like 35 colleges and universities in Boston proper, if I recall correctly, which is crazy. But all of these, so many of these apartments, like privately owned apartments, run on like the school schedule for leases. So the leases, almost every apartment in Boston, the overwhelming majority of apartments in Boston have a lease that runs from September 1st to August 31st of the next year. So everyone in the city, essentially everyone, I would say 90% of people in Boston who are moving are all moving on August 31st and September 1st, which is crazy because you're essentially homeless for one night. Like, what if you don't have, where do you put your stuff? Like, what if you don't have someone you can stay with? Like, that is so crazy. I know that's kind of normal, but it is insane that you have to be out of your current place on August 31st and into your second place on September 1st. The second thing that I have to bring up about this system that I'm concerned about as a germaphobe and hypochondriac, there is no way in hell that those apartments are getting the proper cleaning, treatment, and... Oh, I bumped the mic. There is no way in hell that those apartments are getting the proper cleaning treatment and landlord special in less than 24 hours. You're telling me that one tenant moves out on August 31st and the next tenant moves in the next day on September 1st and the apartment is just like good to go? No, no way. I don't believe it. If I was someone, and I don't know, I kind of deep clean any apartment I move into anyway, even though I know the apartments that I've lived in the past, they've had a cleaner come before I moved in, which is standard. I feel like that is standard, or it should be standard. If you, as the landlord, are not cleaning your units in between tenants, then what actually are you doing? What is your job? It's not that is kind of the bare minimum. You guys want to be landlord so bad, but you don't actually want to lord over the land. Okay. That requires work and maintenance, but you don't want to hear that. Okay. So that's kind of my first beef with this is how gross. I know that those apartments are disgusting on September 1st when the new tenants move in. They just have to be, unless they have cleaners come in. First, there can't possibly be enough cleaners in the city of Boston to be able to manage all of these apartments that are getting turned over in one night. But maybe there is something where there are a lot of cleaners and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there's a lot of cleaners in Boston and they all come in overnight and clean the apartment NASCAR style. When a car goes into the NASCAR pit and gets all fixed up all at once, there's five different people all fixing it at different angles. Maybe that's what they do to the apartments overnight. I don't think that's what happens, but I'm gonna try to give them the B of the D here. So there's all these people trying to move in a 24-hour period in Boston. And there are literal brawls breaking out in the streets. And this happens every year. I was watching a girl's TikTok this morning and she said that she it's a thing. She'll go and get a lemonade and sit on her stoop and watch the drama unfold because it's just prime people watching, people get in fights, people are honking. Apparently it's just good old fashioned, neighborly drama. And I'm well, as someone who does love, I love to eavesdrop. I love to be nosy. I love to do drama. I would be one of those people sitting on my stoop watching this as it goes down. 100% that would be me. But the other thing that she said in this TikTok was that there are so many U-Hauls every year on this Boston Moving Day that go under the bridges. And the bridges were all built like in the 1700s. So like they're very low and small because they were all built to accommodate like horses, like not cars, obviously. They haven't been remade. And so U-Hauls get their tops knocked off. Like people try to drive their U-Hauls under these short bridges and the bridges just take the top of the U-Haul clear off. And the pictures are hysterical. I mean, I'm assuming it would be very traumatizing if that happened to you. If that happened to me, I would cry for a week. But as an outsider with no attachment to the situation, that shit is funny as hell. And I just can't believe that if it weren't for TikTok, I would never know about Boston Moving Day. And they're going to try to ban the platform when I'm learning valuable information about my own country's culture every single day. Like, it's crazy as an American, the things that happen on my own home soil, right? On American soil that I have no idea. It's a completely different culture over there in Boston. Like, and I know that we've said this so many times, but people in Europe want to be on their high horse about how Americans don't travel and they go to a different country every weekend just to go to the beach. And it's like, yeah, girl, that's because your countries are like actually the size of the United States. Like your countries are the sizes of the individual states in America. Like I can fly 6 hours in a plane and still be in America. I'd be in Boston or Florida. But like, that's it is crazy how sprawling we are and how I didn't even know this very, very special part about Boston culture that I now feel like I need to witness before I die. And I just love it. I love niche cultural moments like that. And I am going to be on the record right now saying I love Boston Moving Day. The other thing, what else I need to talk about? Oh, me and Ty went to go see Blink twice yesterday. With Channing Tatum, directed by Zoe Kravitz. And I really liked it. I actually didn't know. I really liked it. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, that was a good movie. Like, good watch. I love a thriller. I love a I love weird creep billionaires doing creepy shit. Like, that's just kind of like what it was the exact right story for me, right? Like, I was the target audience for Blink twice. Loved it. But then, of course, I get on TikTok this morning again, and there's people on there act like, you know, when you see people approach topics on TikTok, like it's a huge scandal and you're like, wait, like, where have I been? Like, why didn't I know that this was like such a big story? And it's because it's not. It's because our algorithms are so like central to like what we want to see. And I don't know, like it's funny how people on TikTok, though, will like kind of posit stories as though they're common knowledge. It's like, no, girl, like I've never heard of this before. But basically, apparently there is a lot of rumbling about the fact that like Blink twice didn't offer a comprehensive enough trigger warning, that it's like, I don't know, like I just, and when I say there's a lot of rumblings, I mean, I saw one girl make two TikToks about it, and I was just basing my entire assumption of the population on her comments, right? Like, so I want to be clear that this is niche stuff as far as I'm concerned, but there is a small subset of people who are very upset by the fact that Blink twice didn't offer an adequate trigger warning. And I guess if you haven't seen the movie, I'll tell you, go ahead. I'll try to put a timestamp in the description. But skip ahead if you don't want to blink twice spoilers. But basically, there are a few sexual assault scenes in the movie that are not explicit, but they are like very heavily implied. And the kind of theme, I guess, the overarching plot of the story is that this billionaire and his rich billionaire friends bring these women to this island that he owns, and they're having the time of their lives. They're drinking endless champagne and doing drugs and dancing and eating this amazing food in this beautiful island. And then at night, all the men rape these women and then give them a forgetting, like, Sarah, like, it's like a smell, it's like a perfume, it's a flower that makes them forget everything that happened to them. And the only way you can remember is by ingesting snake venom. So these men are, like, doing these terrible things to women and making them forget. And so obviously there are some implied sexual assault scenes within that story. And to me, here's the thing. This didn't even cross my mind, and that's because I am very lucky and very fortunate that I have never been a victim of sexual violence. That is not something that I have to, like, watch out for, or, like, in the media that I consume. Like, that's really not a trigger point for me personally. So it would make sense that I didn't see this movie and think, like, oh, I wish there was a better trigger warning or whatever. But what I will say is, this kind of stuff does happen. Like, there are billionaires who own islands. There are billionaires who, like, Jeffrey Epstein existed. If he existed, like, there's many other people that exist just like him. Maybe not with the same amount of notoriety as him, but this is a real thing that happens. And what's fascinating to me is that Zoe Kravitz comes from an industry family. Like, I know that she knows people like this. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that she is in the same circles as some of these high-powered billionaires who are the kind of people who could do this, who could take people to their island and do unspeakable things to them. And it's crazy that she actually, like, made a movie about it, because I know that she's, I don't know, but I can really, really infer that because of her standing in society and because of who her family is and because of who she hangs out with and who she is in Hollywood, she knows scary men like this. And I think it's cool that she turned that into a movie that is, like, she channeled it into art, whatever. Like, is that, like, I don't know. So I don't think it was, like, overly, me personally, I'm not saying my opinion is the only way. How I see it in retrospect is that it wasn't just, like, a gratuitous movie full of uncalled for violence. Like, in my opinion, the movie was pretty well done. I thought it was a very compelling story. I thought the actors were amazing. I thought that whoever played Frida, Naomi someone, I thought she was absolutely compelling. I thought she had the best face. Like, I loved watching her act. I loved watching the way her face moved. I thought she was so beautiful. Like, I just thought that everyone in it, like, I just thought it was, like, a good watch. Like, I don't think it's going to win an Oscar or anything, but, like, I enjoyed myself fully for those hour and 42 minutes that I was sat in the theater. But I do wonder, there's a lot of movies that have portrayed sexual violence that have not gotten flack for not providing an adequate trigger warning. A lot. And I guess maybe it's because it's come on the heels of the It Ends With Us discourse of how the movie was really marketed as, like, a rom-com, and Blake Lively was really talking it up as, like, a fluffy romance in her press, which obviously people were then, because again, like, you can't really spoil, like, that movie was a book beforehand, right? And the book dealt with themes of domestic violence. I've never read the book. I haven't seen the movie, but I've been following the story, like, so close, because you can't escape it. But I guess I can see how someone thought this was just a silly movie. I'm talking about It Ends With Us. Someone who hadn't read the book, knew nothing about it, had just seen the trailer and, like, nothing else. I guess I could see how you would be like, oh, this is just, like, a fun, cute movie about a girl who opens a flower shop and falls in love. But it's really not that hard to dig a little bit deeper and figure out what's going on. Like, I do think that it's a reach, personally. I think it's a reach to be like, I didn't know what this movie was about, and so it's the fault of the people who made the movie for not warning me about it. I don't want to sound like a boomer conservative. Like, I really don't. I don't want this to be like a boomer take. Okay, I've seen other people with similar takes, so I know it's an acceptable one to have, and it's mine. And I extend my deepest sympathy and sorrow to people who've had to deal with sexual violence or domestic violence. And I can't imagine how shitty it would feel to go see a movie that you think is one thing and then have it completely ruin the rest of your day or like trigger you and like put you in a bad place. Like, that is really, I really hate that that happened to some people. That really upsets me. However, there are certain things I won't go watch, right? Like, I won't watch, if there's any movie where there's like throwing up in it, I'm actually probably not gonna watch it. Like, I hate throwing up movies. If I go to a movie and there's a bunch of barfing in it for whatever reason, I'm gonna be like, okay, I should leave. Like, maybe this isn't for me. Or I wouldn't be like, I can't believe I didn't know that there was that plot point in it. And I know that's like not at all I know that that example is not at all comparable to themes of like sexual violence, domestic violence, things that people have like real active like trauma that impacts their lives on a daily basis about. However, Blink Twice was kind of in my opinion, I saw the trailers, right? I didn't read a bunch of press about it, but I knew it was about these people who go to a billionaire's island and play this kind of like fucked up game. And we don't know what the game is just from the trailer, but if you're someone who, you know, like is able to put things together and think kind of critically, like you would think they're not just having fun and games on this island. Like, you know what happens on billionaires' islands? Crimes. We all know that. Like, and so I don't know. I'm not putting the onus on the individuals who felt triggered or unprepared for the movie itself. I just think it is worth having a conversation about what is your responsibility as the consumer and what is the responsibility of the person creating the content. Because I absolutely do think that trigger warnings are important in some cases. I do think though, at what point, like if we would have gotten a full-on trigger warning about what we were going to see in the movie, like it would have ruined the plot, like the twist of the movie. And I guess, I don't know. Like, there's no right answer. I feel bad that people were upset by the movie, obviously. I don't know if it was on the production company or on the director or on the actors or whatever to make clear what happened in the movie. But I don't know. I just always wonder, like, what is my responsibility as a consumer to control for myself versus and knowing my limits and what I can handle and what I want to see and what themes I want to avoid. And like, what is the responsibility of the people manufacturing this content and putting this content out? And I think it's like a very gray, nuanced conversation, but I did want to say that I really liked Blink Twice. I will definitely watch it again when it comes out on streaming. I thought that one of the girls in it, Sarah in the movie, the girl who was on Hot Survivor Babes or whatever, she was in Hitman. She played opposite Glenn Powell in Hitman. She was like this woman who was trying to kill her abusive husband. And then like her and Glenn Powell's character kind of fall in love. And like, if you hadn't seen, why did I just give you the entire plot of Hitman? Sorry if you haven't seen Hitman. I didn't give away the story. It's a really good, fun movie. I didn't give you all the details, but yeah, I do. I deeply love Hitman. I should put Hitman in one of my like favorite slides on Letterboxd because I do Letterboxd now, but I'm not telling anyone what my name is. Avery is the only person who follows me and knows what my Letterboxd is. I'm kind of like self-conscious about it because I know that I don't have like, I just want it to be like what movies I like and I think are good. And like, I want to review them the way I feel about them and not have to worry about like if other people are going to think my take is right and wrong, because I feel like people are going to be like, I don't know why. I just can't deal with like people perceiving the way I rate and watch movies because it's very personal to me. Maybe someday I'll be brave enough to hard launch it, but I don't want someone to be like, oh my God, your number one movie is Coyote Ugly. Cringe. I can't take it. In other news, Sabrina Carpenter dropped Short and Sweet last week. And I want to talk about it. I want to do my little unofficial album review as I want to do. Oh, bops, okay? Bops, bangers on this album. Start to finish. Let's see. Taste, such a catchy song. It's been in my head since it came out last week. Like, the girl knows how to write a catchy little tune. She knows how to write a catchy little tune. And I love the music video. And I love when songs are like so jealous that they end up kind of full circling into like a little bit gay. I love jealousy that is so intense that it turns a little gay. So obviously Taste, very much like that vibe, you know, like Jolene. It's so jealous, it's a little gay. And the music video was iconic. The music video was iconic. Sabrina Carpenter, for all of her Short and Sweet music videos, Espresso, Please, 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 and Taste, have been like so fun. And like, I don't know, she's bringing a vibe to music videos that I feel like maybe used to be a thing, but like no one's really done for a while. Like, I just like that she's kind of bringing back these like kitschy, campy, like, music videos with like a very obvious storyline. Like, I don't know. I just think I like it. Okay. I think it's fun. Okay. Have a little bit of fun. That one Chaperone. I love where was that when she was like, it's so weird how people in VIP think they're way too cool to do this. You're not fun. I loved when she did that. She is really for the people. Good Graces. I love Good Graces. That, I think my favorite songs on the album right now are Good Graces, Coincidence, Bed Chem, and Slim Pickens. As it stands right now, I think those are my favorites, but obviously subject to change. I love Slim Pickens and Coincidence because they have this kind of country Americana feel to them. And I'm obsessed with that. Like, I've talked on here kind of ad nauseum about how I wish more pop artists would venture into kind of like country crossover. And I think that after hearing Slim Pickens and hearing Coincidence, I would love it if Sabrina Carpenter like did a full like concept album with like a country genre. A Girl Can Dream, okay? What I will say is that I love how Short and Sweet, she's kind of doing everything. She has some like, not, there's one song that has like some kind of like 90s R&B vibes. I think it might be Sharpest Tool. I can't really remember. But there's a couple that have like this like 90s vibe. There's a couple that are just like full on like pop anthems. There's a few that are like country adjacent. And I love that she just put it all on this album and didn't feel the need to stick to a certain sound. Like, I love that. I love when artists do that. I love an album that has like sonic diversity throughout the track list. It keeps me engaged. It lends itself to a very dynamic listening experience, which I'm someone who likes to sit down and listen to an album top to bottom. And so I like it when there is that kind of like dynamic vibe between the tracks. I think that the order of these tracks is so good. Like, the Taste, Please, 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 Good Graces, Sharpest Tool, Coincidence, like, track list is so good in succession. I love Bed Chem, I really like. I thought that her and Barry Keoghan had broken up, actually, but then he literally posted on his Instagram story, like, great job, my darling, love Bed Chem. And I'm like, okay, what do I know? Like, I was hearing, I swear that I was hearing tea about them breaking up, but I guess that was fake. Good for them. I've been on the record as saying that I like them as a couple. I like them as a couple. I think they're cute together. I also like them because I don't know anything about them. The minute you start to learn too much about celebrities is when everything starts to fall apart. I am no longer learning too much about celebrities. I'm staying in my lane. I am seeing what they choose to give me. Anything else is not my business. It's going to ruin the fun. And I don't want my fun to be ruined. Dumb and Poetic is definitely, I love that song because I'm so glad that we've, like, someone has finally written a pop hit about about men who do mushrooms and then claim to be enlightened. Like, I really appreciate this song as a woman. As a woman who has to interact with men, I really appreciate Dumb and Poetic. However, the streets are saying that this song is about a love triangle between Sabrina Carpenter, Shawn Mendes, and Camila Cabello. Okay, are we buying that? Y'all, Obscura Nation, are we buying that? Because I'm not. I'm not buying that. And I know we're not supposed to, like, speculate on people's sexualities. But that's what I do. That is one of my passions, okay? And I am so sorry. You cannot ever... I will eat my words someday. I will eat my fucking words. But there is nothing that is going to make me believe that Shawn Mendes isn't gay. And that's on me. And I know that's on me. And I know that's me being problematic, okay? I just don't believe that there is a love triangle between Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, and Sabrina Carpenter. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, in my opinion, had the fakest relationship of all time. Just as fake as the coffee in their mugs during their pap walks during COVID. Like, that, they were just a PR spectacle, and I loved them. I obviously love a spectacle, and I love when celebrities like to play the PR game. So I lived, laughed, loved for Shawn Mendes and Camila. But can I go off the rails here for a second? If there really is all of this kind of beef between Camila Cabello and Sabrina Carpenter, because I've been seeing those Twitter, those Twitter threads that are like, all of the, everything that Sabrina Carpenter and Camila Cabello have ever said to each other, a thread. Like, that is so, I feel like I've seen those, and they have been shady to each other on social media and in little, like, Easter egg ways. And because I'm delusional and I have brain rot, obviously, my first conclusion that I go to when I learn that two girls around the same age in the same industry have like a long-standing beef where we can't really tell the roots of it, like, to me, that's because there was gay drama happening. There was queer gay drama going on. And the PR friendly digestible way for people to kind of absorb this is for them to say, well, obviously it's because Sabrina and Camila Cabello are fighting over Shawn Mendes, the straightest man alive. I don't buy any of it. I don't believe any of it. I think, first of all, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but I've said it in my real life many times, and I've said it to Ty more than I can count because it is a belief that I hold deep down in my body. I think that most people in Hollywood and in the music industry, entertainment industry, are sexually fluid. 100%. The vast majority of them, I think, are way more sexually fluid than we would maybe think. And that's not just because I have blind item brain rot. Like, I really do think that if you are someone and you are constantly, you have all of the money in the world, all of the resources, everything you could want, you can fuck any person you want because you're so beautiful and everyone around you is so beautiful. At that point, what does gender even have to do with anything? Like, they're operating on a completely different plane. Like, with the most money, the most drugs, the most beautiful people. Like, I just think that everyone in Hollywood is fucking everyone. I really do. I don't think it matters if you're straight, if you're gay, if you're like a man, woman, everyone. I do think to some extent everyone is fucking everybody, because at a certain point of wealth and fame and status, gender doesn't, like, you aren't really considering that. I don't know. That's how I personally feel about the Hollywood scene. But yeah, so that belief definitely trickles down to me thinking that there's some, like, gay stuff going on between Camila Cabello and Sabrina Carpenter, even though I don't really know anything about it. I basically know what I know from Twitter threads that I'm banking on being true. And they could have been giving me, those AI bots on Elon Musk's Twitter could have been feeding me the most garbage information ever, and I wouldn't know because I didn't fact check, okay? But that's kind of all I want to say. That's all I want to say about that. The only song that on Short and Sweet that I don't like, I like it. It's a fun song. It actually gets stuck in my head, but when I listen to it, it, like, sicks me out. I just think it's gross is the song Juno. And I'm not saying it's gross. Like, obviously, I find it gross because I have issues. But the lyrics, can I pull up the lyrics on this real quick? Like, I do think that it is. I do think that if you haven't actually listened to the lyrics and I read them to you, you're going to think it's gross too. Okay. Juno, Sabrina Carpenter. One sec. Got to get on Genius real quick here. Okay. First verse, coming in hot. Don't have to tell your hot ass a thing. Oh yeah, you just get it. Whole package, babe. I like the way you fit. God bless your dad's genetics. Okay, so four lines into the song, I already have a mental image of some old man's dad dick. You know what I mean? Like, that is, I personally find it revolting to be like, I love your giant penis. Thank God your dad also had a huge giant penis that he passed down to you. And I'm giving her, I love Sabrina Carpenter. I love her cheeky little jokes. I love her little wordplay. And so I know that this was intended to be like a silly little hee hee throwaway line. I cannot throw away this line. To me, it is so disgusting. I do not need a mental image of a dad dick. Like, that is just so beyond what I was needing. So right away, not really a fan. Then we get into, I don't know, like, I think my biggest problem is that I am never gonna relate to a song or any piece of media about wanting to get knocked up. Like, I have such a huge, like, pregnancy is just such a no for me. Like, I fear it. I'm terrified of it. It's something that will never happen to me. I hope not. Like, I have never in my life been so horny that I've thought, I want to get knocked up right now. Like, that is just not a thought I've ever had. So I think the fact that this is a song about, like, wanting to get knocked up, it really doesn't resonate with me. And, like, in fact, it's so wrong for me that I can't even really enjoy it. The chorus, if you love me right, then who knows? I might let you make me Juno, which is, like, a reference, like, to the movie Juno, right? With Elliot Page. Like, I don't know, like, so you, like, I don't know, like, she was a teen mother in that movie. Which I don't know. I don't know. Nothing against teen mothers. Actually, yeah, I do have something against teen mothers. I don't think that teenagers should be mothers. On an individual level, if you or a loved one are a teenage mother, I'm sure you are amazing. But I don't think that we should really be, like, hornifying teenage mothers. I know I'm reading way too much into this. But I just think I just need to, because it's my podcast, so I can talk about what I want. I want to talk about why I don't like the song Juno. Okay. Then she goes on to say, you know, I just might let you lock me down tonight. One of me is cute, but two, though, give it to me, baby. So, like, implying that she wants a baby that looks just like her. And I don't know. I just can't relate. And so I think that this song is just not for me. You know what I mean? I just went on a whole rant about trigger warnings and, you know, us being in control of the content we consume. And because the song grosses me out and makes me feel weird, I don't listen to it, right? I just kind of stop trying. I go, that song's not for me. I'm going to skip it. I'm just going to skip it. And that's okay. This song, just because I don't like it, doesn't mean it can't exist. I'm just saying that this is my platform. And so I'm going to talk about shit, okay? Verse 2, I showed my friends, then we high-fived. Sorry if you feel objectified. That's fine. I like objectifying men. Like, I think that's fine. Can't help myself. Hormones are high. Give me more than just some butterflies. I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah, Sabrina Carpenter even herself posted, like, on Friday, I think her Instagram caption was, like, 1 week of the Ovulation album, which personally I hate. Like, I hate it when people are like, oh my God, this is an ovulation song. Like, this is an ovulation album. Like, I hate it when people call it what you want from Reputation, like, an ovulation song. I'm like, you guys are gross, actually. Like, and I don't know, what does that say about me that I think that, like, a natural bodily process is gross? Like, that's probably some shit that I have to unravel and figure out. But I do just find it to be, like, unsavory to me personally. So I don't know. I just think that maybe I just don't like Juno. Okay? Because I, at the end of the day, I'm just always going to be repulsed by the idea of being impregnated, is the truth. And I think it's important for me to be vulnerable and honest with you guys about that. Okay, I just stopped to pee real quick and I checked my TikTok notifications and I'm so excited. I'm kind of like fangirling a little bit because Kelly Hayer, who is, if you don't know, she's the girl who invented the Apple dance. And I've been following her since then because I just like think she's so cute and I love her whole vibe. I love her outfits. Like I followed her not only did I follow her on TikTok, but I did extend that follow to Instagram as well, which if you're an influencer I am following on both of those platforms, then you know you're doing something right. But she just liked one of my TikToks. I saw her in my notifications. I was like, is this the Kelly Hayer? And it was indeed. She doesn't know who the fuck I am, but I was really excited when I saw her name. Every once in a while, like, I'll get, like, someone who I follow in my notification, like, a bigger TikToker or, like someone that I'm kind of loosely familiar with from being big on TikTok, like one of my TikToks. It's happened a couple times, and I'm like, ooh, don't mind if I feel famous for a second here, okay? To be honest with you guys, that tickle, the aforementioned tickle in my throat, is becoming more irritated the more that I talk. So I had a back half of this episode planned. I mean, it was supposed to be the whole episode. I was going to do a deep dive on the Cookie Plug and Freedom Bowls, which is like this weird conservative like business that exists in Southern California and nationwide. I think Freedom Bowls only exists in Southern California, but they have the same owner. They have like a lot of weird history and some tea and some drama. And so I have my research and everything. I have my document with all my links. I did not think that the chit chatty portion of this episode was going to hit an hour, but we're kind of there right now. And because of the state of the tickle in my throat, as I've said, I think I'm going to call this a little bit of a shorter episode today. And next Monday, I'm going to be chatting about Cookie Plug and Freedom Bowls. Okay? We are going to dog on some weirdo conservatives next Monday. So get in the zone, auto zone. We're going to freaking do it. Thank you. I think this is the third episode of season two. So I thank you for listening. If you're back, if you're a new listener, thank you so much. I will say that I am desperate. I am desperate for some new reviews on Apple Podcasts because I think the last one is from like February. So, and it was my friend who it was Hannah who I forced to write a review when I was sitting next to her. Just to be fully transparent. So I would literally be forever indebted to you if you have not ever written a review and you wanted to write a review on Apple Podcasts. I would love to have some new, more current reviews so that new listeners who are maybe coming to the show for the first time take it a bit more seriously. Because I feel like if they're looking at the show and they only see the most recent review from February, they're going to be like, does she even post anymore? And like, I would really, really love and appreciate it. And I will read your review out loud on the show if you leave one, just because I'm so obsessed with you if you leave me a review. Obviously on Spotify, you can like leave a rating too. And I love that as well. So if you're a Spotify only queen and you just want to leave a review, like, I would love that so much. But yeah, I am going to make myself a little cup of tea, maybe take the immunity shot that I got at Sprouts earlier, and I'm going to edit this podcast episode so it can go up on time. So I will see you here next week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. Remember to follow the podcast on Instagram at ObscuraPod, and I will see you here, same time, same place. Thank you so much for listening. Okay, bye.